Minnesota Vikings fans, welcome back to the Living in Loserville podcast, Purple People Eaters edition. Welcome back, everyone. I'm your host, Chris Carlson. My co-host, Aaron Miller, will be joining us shortly. And what else are we going to talk about this type of year? But the Vikings, and especially Vikings free agency. As you guys know, we talked about it last week. We switched around what shows we were talking about. It's all Living in Loserville podcast, whether it's Viking heavy with a little gopher talk at the end of it like we did in the fall and the winter, or what we were currently on, the Timberwolves and Gophers. As you know, we don't really need to talk too much about that. I guess we do have some gopher news today that we'll talk about. But other than that, we're going to keep it Vikings, okay? So we appreciate everybody that listened last week. We won't go over the stuff of, you know, all the stuff that we talked about early in the podcast. Obviously, we're here as a distraction. You know, we know a lot of folks have a lot going on. Both me and my co-host are actually out of work at this time. We're not trying to say we're out of work like, oh, we're screwed like many other people in the country. We're just saying that is affecting a lot of people. This is why we decided to just go Vikings heavy. Free agency, you know, the Diggs trade popped off while we did the damn show, so that was kind of fun. Variety of things we'll talk about. We'll probably like kind of reconvey at that trade since we were on live reacting to it. So we'll probably talk about that, a variety of other stuff. Obviously the cornerback situation. When you have your two starters and your two depth guys gone, it starts to make you a little panicky. We did sign a nose tackle. Well, it kind of feels like a 3-4 right there. We'll talk about Griff and the Vikings moving on. A surprise cut that really threw everyone for a loop, including me and my co-host, was Josh Klein. Just the whole dealings of that, we'll talk a little bit about that. And, you know, is this thing, like many people are talking about, is this thing an actual rebuild? And maybe we should look at 8-8 next year and then be a better team the year after that. So is this a rebuild? Or is it too early to tell? I mean, we're technically not even, and I'm talking about official. I'm not talking about tampering. I'm talking about official contracts being signed and, you know, dotted, right? Not just talking about it. We're not even a week into this process. So we all need to calm down. But it could be a rebuild. Or is it not a rebuild because the amount of free agents still in the cornerback, which we need, and along with the draft capital that we have to use for a trade either right now, like we've heard about Harris or other guys, or, you know, picks for a trade. It doesn't always have to be a player. There's plenty of players that have been signed or, you know, traded for fifth or fourth round picks right now where you're like, that dude? Oh, wow. I mean, we'll talk about a certain former Vikings kicker slash punter and see where that fifth round went to. But we'll get into that a little bit later. But, yeah, that's the big thing around social media and Vikings fan. Is it a rebuild? This thing seems like a rebuild, but we got to remember we're not even into April yet. The draft doesn't start till April 23rd or something like that. But just so you guys know, we're going to talk free agency next show. We'll probably still talk free agency, but we will be centering around the draft even more than we normally did, which wasn't a ton last year because of the way, you know, obviously basketball was still going on. So we will be entering the draft stuff on this podcast as well. But we want to get through these first chunk of whatever it is, weeks with free agency. We might, at the end of podcast, add some draft chatter into it. And just the point of breaking down the draft too deep right now is, you know, we could do a trade and sign a person and that could mess up your whole first three picks. So we definitely will be getting in the NFL draft as well. Clearly this one's important to us. I'm going to go, well, actually, before I get there, if this is your first time listening to the Living and Loserville podcast, you can find it right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoperadio. It streams live at archives. It's right here. However, if you want to listen to this Living in Loserville Vikings podcast right now, you can find it under the Ropeadoper Radio podcast umbrella in a variety of places. You just don't have to go to Blog Talk or download it there. You can go to Apple Podcasts. You can go to iHeartRadio, Player FM, TuneIn, Spreaker, Stitcher, really all across the board. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, which can be found everywhere, including Spotify. In fact, you can use your Siri or Alexa through TuneIn and Spotify to find the platform. Why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.com? They got a great sponsor, betnow.eu, with the promo code TGT. That's thegruelingtruth.com. So it's football, it's basketball, it's baseball, it's boxing, it's everything in between. And real quick, if you're thinking about cutting the cord, or maybe you have and you're not quite happy, obviously folks spending a lot of time indoors now, and that's going to start to suck here in a couple of weeks as this weather turns in the Midwest, but you got to do what you got to do. My point is, there is an AT&T TV live streaming cable available right now. You don't have to pay the huge, huge plans. They have a 7-day free trial. There's no annual contract that's going to lock you down. You know, a lot of money's tight these days, right? So the plans start as low as $60 a month. Like I mentioned, you can stream it anywhere. No annual contract. They have the cloud DVR. So that's AT&T TV Now. It's live streaming cable. However, if you're in a part of the country that, let's just face it, your internet just kind of sucks. You can go on Amazon and Netflix and watch something on archive, but it's a different story when it comes to live streaming. They do have AT&T TV. That's the normal cable platform. You can just Google it, and you basically put in your area code, see if it's available. It's available in limited areas like up here in Minneapolis, Minnesota, parts of New York, Florida, California, Texas, all the way up to Seattle and Tacoma and other Midwestern places like St. Louis and Wichita, Topeka, and stuff like that. So that's AT&T TV. That's the normal cable. That's if your internet is just not up to snuff. But if you feel like you're good to go there, AT&T TV Now. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host and see how he's doing. Normally I'd say, you know, I said this on the other podcast too, sometimes I say let's check the temperature, but I don't even want to talk about that because we're hoping people's temps aren't going up, right? But how you doing, man? How's it going?
I'm good, man. Getting a lot of rest with this time off here, wondering when it's going to end, but then also wishing that it wouldn't at times. So it's a little bit of back and forth. There's a lot of news going on with the Vikings and all that. Some confusing stuff, man. Like you said, with the whole Klein thing, I just don't understand that. And we'll get into that a little bit later and some other things to touch on, cornerbacks and all that. So I'm just not, you know, I'm on board with the whole gutting of the defense, but I kind of want to see how the pieces fall when they go to replenish it and how that's going to work exactly. I think offensively we're all right. We've got to find someone for Diggs' spot and do some things on the offensive line, which is all very important. But, you know, the real pressing need here seems to be that defense, how it just got gutted out with a lot of vets. So now, I mean, this team belongs to Anthony Barr and Eric Kendricks. It's probably going to be some bit of a youth movement, and I'm excited to see where it goes. But then again, there's some trepidation there because you just lost so many important parts that were there for the last 4, 5, 6 years. So it's going to be a whole new look. Excited to see it, but a little bit curious about how those chips are going to fall.
The defense is belonging to our new nose tackle and Hunter. No, I'm just kidding. No, you're right, though. I think a lot of folks on online, a lot of fans are feeling what you're feeling, but they're going way overboard. You know, you're like, oh, I like this and I like this, but now, fuck it, dude, we're done. It's like, dude, we're not even a week into it. That started, a lot of people talk about the tampering stuff. I get it. That was the 15th. That's Sunday, I think at 3 or something like that. But Wednesday the 18th is the first time at 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon that those contracts and all this stuff became official. So we're in the fifth day of free agency, guys. So just calm down. Take a deep breath. There's plenty of times to panic, and I hate to use that word right now, but there'll be times. I'm with you there, and I want to see how this plays out, you know. Even in this last show, we talked about how some of the moves we thought, okay, they're really going to do it rather than talk about it. And I remember as we closed down the Vikings show, we talked about, are they going to bring back the band at a lower rate? And are they going to be afraid to move on these guys? Well, they were not afraid to move on the cornerbacks. We'll get into that. We'll get into the new nose tackle, like I mentioned as well. Right off the bat, though, two things. Well, let's go three things. Because last week, Griff, we didn't know. Now we know. Josh Klein we'll get to as well. But now that we've had basically almost a week to digest this thing, Diggs is no longer on the squad as we know. The news broke live. Whoever listened to it last week, you could probably hear us going, oh, my God, yeah, it happened. So a week removed from that trade, how you feeling about it? Because I still have the same feelings, but maybe even a little bit more positivity considering the guy wanted to be out of here, of course. We both love Diggs, but, hey, the guy got to go, he got to go.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I'm still relatively happy with what we got for compensation for Diggs. I think once you put names to those draft picks, it'll kind of, even itself out, or you'll get a better look at what we actually got for Stephon. But you're right. I'm optimistic in the fact that, you know, if a guy doesn't want to be here, and he's made it clear for almost a whole season that he didn't want to be here, regardless of what the real reason was, I'm inclined to say it had something to do with Kirk Cousins. But I don't know that. So, and nobody really knows that. It could have just been the change in offense. It could have been a lot of different things. So, you know, I'm happy about it. Of course, you don't want to see a sure thing like Diggs go. I mean, he is a probably top 30, 40 player in the NFL. And you know what you have, and now you're, you know, bringing some draft picks or perhaps a free agent that you like at his spot. You know, you still have Thielen, but, you know, I think Diggs had a lot to do with Thielen's success, so you've got to get someone who can also draw the same kind of attention that maybe a Stephon Diggs would in that spot, or that's going to drastically change Thielen's production as well. So, I mean, overall, I'm pretty happy with it. You got rid of a player who wasn't happy, which needs to happen, and you can't leave somebody on there to poison your team. So I think I'm with you on that. I'm not going to go as far as to say I'm happy about it, but I guess I'm not unhappy about it. It had to happen, and we got what I think is satisfactory compensation for him. You know, he's off to Buffalo. It's not like he's in the division or in the conference. So I think overall, if you had to move Diggs, which you did a really good job of doing that. And you can contrast against what the Texans did with DeAndre Hopkins, who's another great receiver relatively in the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
And we got a much better deal for Diggs than they did for Hopkins. And not that you want to compare apples to apples, but I think we got what we should have got for Diggs. In fact, maybe even a little bit more. So, yeah, I mean, that's where I am. I know you said your thoughts didn't change much on it, and mine didn't really either. It just kind of solidified them throughout the week. I'm supposing that's probably where you're at. Maybe you saw something else that I didn't see.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it was so much Cousins as, like you said, the system. Because a year ago, he was catching 100 balls, but his yards and his yards per catch obviously goes down when you catch 100 balls. And by the way, we were 8-7-1. You know, we didn't make the playoffs. But you didn't hear him. You actually saw more Thielen complaints on the sidelines. Remember that? Like, even on that hot mic he didn't know was there, he was all pissed off. And I think what gets lost in here is a lot of people talk about Diggs, but Thielen was crying like a little girl, too, plenty of times the last few years. So let's not keep it all in perspective. But, you know, when you come off your best yardage and your average per catch and you lead, you know, considering we were like 29th in attempts, the categories you led were in the top five, especially the deep ball. Like we said, the pretty deep ball at that, like, and we went to the playoffs, went to the second round of the playoffs. Like, it just seems like, all right, so what's the common denominator there? Sometimes he's catching 100 balls, he's not that pissed. Doesn't catch 100 balls and he's pissed, although the team's doing better. Like, so I just want to see his reaction when he gets those deep balls from fucking what's-his-nose. Because when you see the highlights of that guy throwing deep, he's got a big arm, but, man, he throws it through the field goal post. Like, he does not put it on you. But, yeah, like you said, I didn't love it because I like Diggs. I wanted to keep Diggs. But as long as we improve our team, I think you got to do what you got to do. And, like you said, the Hopkins is a better overall receiver than he has been. Than Diggs. It's clear. injuries, just on the field, the stuff he does in the air, catching a ball, he's better than Diggs, and we got way more. So I'm still good with it. The Klein stuff threw me for a loop because I'm thinking, well, we're all thinking, we got this fucking left guard. You heard of him? Yeah. This guy's always looking for somebody to block except the guy right in front of him. And he's always looking around like, I'll help you up. Sorry, my bad, dude. You know, he's always looking for somebody to block. And there's, it just seems like he was just lost this year. Yeah, sometimes they'd show, like, highlights of him, and I've seen plenty of them, you know, pulling out and pause, you know, for a block, a run block. Yeah, is he okay at run blocking? Yeah, of course, sure. I know why he's on the squad still right as of right now, because he's not costing much, but the Klein thing threw me off, Aaron, because you just signed the dude to a three-year deal. He was steady over there. We know he's steady Eddie as far as being able to start games. It just seems kind of weird to already ask the guy to reconstruct when he just got the damn contract.
I mean, my inclination there is that it probably has something to do with his concussions. I mean, that would be my thought as to why you would do something like that. Maybe there's some medical stuff that, you know, we're not privy to, where they just didn't trust maybe the fact that, you know, they say sometimes you can compound concussions where you get one and then, you know, the second one comes easier, the third one comes easier than that, and so on and so on. And maybe they just thought, well, you know, I don't know if we trust that. And now we got Drew Samia coming up who could play that spot. But then, like you said, you went and talked, but I don't think you mentioned his name about Pat Elflein and what you're going to do about that. Now, you know, we talked off air a little bit about keeping him around is really cheap, so that's not a big thing. But him starting again is going to be a concern if that's what it comes down to. Or if he starts three games so that a rookie can get ready, that's fine too. But I don't know if I want to go the entire year with what we've seen from Pat Elflein so far. Maybe he's, you know, a year back from an injury. He's going to come back like a guy who came off an ACL or something like that. That's possible. But I just don't have a lot of faith in that. And so I think you're going to look to find a guard in the free agency or in the draft. But yeah, that Klein thing was surprising to me, and those were the two big surprises so far for me, besides the Diggs trade, which was a surprise, but you could sort of see it coming. But that and Griff, man, I thought for some reason that he'd be the guy. If there was any guy that was going to be brought back, I thought him and nickel corner guy, Alexander.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
When I saw those two guys go and now those three guys go, that's when my eyebrows got raised a little bit and said, just what is going on here? What is the plan? What are we doing? What can be done? And so a lot of questions came to my mind. And so I guess we're just trying to attempt to answer some of those now. And Klein is a big one, but you must have faith that you can replace that, or you would probably hang on to it.
Yeah, and you're right about the concussions. There was some obviously some caution, but you were just going to reconstruct his deal, so it's not like you weren't going to keep him on the team, you know what I mean, for concussions. But you're right, that got brought up, and that even at the end of the year, I remember that getting brought up, like, oh, that might, the compound thing, yeah, maybe. But we didn't just straight up cut him. We did ask him to move around stuff. So, yeah, I don't know, man. They better be making a trade to get an experienced lineman in here then, because – To get worse is not what I – okay, we trade Diggs. Now we get worse at the line? No. Hold on. We might as well kept Diggs then. And that's why I'm trying to stress to the folks out there, all this stuff is being worked out. Now we'll see if it's worked out to, you know, what we think is something. And obviously once the season starts, you know, people in the media, local media, were not – some of them were kind of ripping Klein and saying that's like a non-factor – folks that, you know, on the Purple Daily on 1500, they weren't even counting him as a starter, which always threw me off. But I guess my thing with the Diggs is the what we got back, that was awesome and phenomenal for this year and even that fourth or third round next year. But my thing was, it's kind of like, well, okay, then if we're not improving our team, then there's a problem. You know, if we're just, then we are in rebuilding mode, because then we're going to just stock up on draft stuff, and that's cool, but then we know it is a rebuild, or at least a retooling of sorts, and to get worse on the line and at Diggs' position, that starts to make like you said, the eyes come up and you start to go, now, wait a second. What's going on here? We're not just going to get a guy we like in the draft last, you know, 2 years ago, and now he's ready to go. We still had a we still wanted to improve. With Klein on our team, we wanted to improve our line. So now we're back a little bit. So, and there was a guy, Joey, I can't remember. Hey, Joey. I can't remember his name. But he was supposed to be in a trade. He's done. He's off the books now. So I'm really hoping that some of these trade or whatever does involve, you know, a veteran guard or something like that that we can bring in that we know we can plug and play and be solid. Because otherwise, it's like, okay, now we're gonna have a better line without Klein. And how's our offense gonna get better without Diggs and Klein? We actually moved back there, so.
Yeah, and I don't want to.
Go ahead.
I don't want to push anyone off the ledge, but I mean, worst case scenario, Chris, offensively is, you know, you can't replace Klein, you lose Stephon Diggs, and you can't re-sign Dalvin Cook. You know, I mean, he may sit out. I mean, he's one of those top running backs where you don't want to pay him all that money yet. He's going to expect it, and you're kind of in a tight spot with him. So, I mean, worst case scenario, you go to camp and you come out of camp without Cook, no one to replace Diggs, and really no one to replace Klein. I mean, that's a tough spot to be in.
Yeah, you're right. And even Cook, it's like at the end of last year, I was all game for extending him. I think the way we'd extend him, just off his injury history, would have, you know, some of that involved in the language there, because it would have to be. Otherwise, I'd be pretty disappointed. Meaning, okay, we're willing to give you money. However, we're not going to break the bank for you because of your history. What have you done for me lately? Like Miss Janet Jackson says, but at the same time, he did a lot lately. But then those other 2 years, he was in and out of the lineup. So, and remember, we keep hearing he wants this, he wants that. But didn't we hear that from Cousins too, from the local media? Oh, he wants this, he wants that. He denied this because he wants big money. Then he dropped his cap $10 million, you know what I mean, this year, and is making next year what he was supposed to make this year. So, you know, it's reports right now. Until it's finalized, we don't really know. But that is a good point, man, because he's our number one weapon with a bullet. I love Thielen. And by the way, just to kind of talk about, I forgot to mention this with the Diggs, Thielen came up when Diggs was hurt a lot too. So remember, he was productive and had a couple of back-to-back seasons when Diggs was hurt too. Not the whole season, but, you know, so – I think the fact that in last year, Thielen was out for about give or take 5 to 7 games, if you include the games he went in and was out or got hurt in and whatnot. So we basically have a number one who's been a number one. Whereas at corner and some of this other stuff, you're starting to go, huh. And I'm with you on Griff. I did think he'd come back. He obviously waited several days to try to do it. So that was cool to him. But yeah, it seems like we're moving on, and now let's talk about some stuff we got. Okay, last week we had gotten the punter, now we got the kicker, and we also have the same backup we had last year as quarterback. We got him back for another year, so we got our kicker and our punter squared away, our backup squared away to an extent anyway. We can still maybe have a backup that we draft or whatever like that, somewhere in the draft anyway, or the guy that you like, Aaron, is still on our squad, I believe. So, you know, we're okay there. Obviously, quarterback, we're okay. We could still move him by the end of next year or right now. Who knows? Our starting quarterback I'm talking about. But let's talk about something that we got, right? And it's not just a kicker. It's not just a punter. We got ourselves a big nasty, a 6'3", 340 big nasty. Michael Pierce, one of the best run-stopping defensive tackles. And by the way, out of a 3-4 system, and we've been talking about, you know, with Caper, Don Caper coming on the staff, we figured we'd see some 3-4 looks, but it does kind of make me feel like we're going to see more looks than we even thought, not just on third down or maybe heavier on third down, or you never know. We hear about Clay Matthews, Caper. They have if we sign Clay Matthews, we're switching to a 3-4. And if you look at the depth that we do have on right now, you go, well, actually, I think we could do okay on a 3-4 right now. What are your thoughts about a Big Nasty in the middle and Pierce? And we're actually getting 4 years younger for right around the same money, just a little bit less than, you know, our guy Joseph, who we assumed we were going to move on just because he has been broken down these last couple of years, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we just got a new Linval. I mean, basically the kid's just about the same thing, except for younger and just about the same amount of money. He studied Linval, so he's going to move right in and just kind of fill that spot. So I don't necessarily think that that's the telling sign of going to a 3-4, but I think it also opens up the 3-4. And, you know, I don't know how I feel about it. Let's say we come out, you know, game one, we're in the 3-4. How am I going to feel about it? You know, I'm going to feel a little bit apprehensive just because we've been running this 4-3. This is Zimmer's made his money on this 4-3. Now, he did play the 3-4 in Dallas under Parcells, which is, you know, successful there. I think the personnel we have already to run the 3-4, it's just, you know, last podcast, I was very adamant about how long this defense has been together, but now this defense is gutted. So now we're getting young again, or we're getting new again. So the continuity isn't there. It is in parts, but, for the most part, I think we'll end up replacing 5 starters on this defense, most likely. Depends on what happens with Harris.
Yeah, because we start a nickel basically anyway, you know, right. If you think about it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm just thinking, I guess it's fine if that's what they think the best way to go is. I'm not, you know, a defensive guru by any stretch, but I have gotten used to what's available in the 4-3. So, you know, I don't think there's any telltale signs yet. I think besides the Capers hire, which means that we'll probably do some 3-4 looks, well, probably maybe he'll just have some better ideas for new blitzes and things like that. We'll see, I guess, how that comes out. But, you know, I don't think there's anything really decided yet. I think we'll see more in the draft about the type of front 7 guys that they get, where that lands. And I think, you know, successfully, you could be successful with either. But let's say we go, you know, second round, you get yourself a regular 4-3, you know, 3 technique. Well, what's that going to tell you? You know, a guy that maybe can't move in or move out. So I think we're going to see a lot of different things. And, you know, there's a corner situation, Chris, that boggles the mind a lot to me. I know we kind of brushed over it, and I'll just quickly put in my 2 cents on it. It's, you know, you've got, I think
that's
you've
where
got
I was
now,
going next. The
yeah.
Exodus, the great Exodus.
The great Exodus.
Four freaking players that took up most of the time. Gone.
Now, I heard rumor-wise that there was some problem in the DB room last year. And so maybe, you know, there were sides that were set, well, you know, if you cut Xavier, then I'm going or something like that, you know, just speculating here. But we lost Javon Curse, Jayron Curse. We lost Sendejo, we didn't re-sign. We lost both our starting corners with Rhodes and Waynes, and we thought we'd lose one at the most, but here we are with both starters gone. Mackenzie Alexander, who just came up and learned to play our nickel and played it well last year, so now we're back to square one at nickel. So, I mean, now we've got maybe one guy who I think could start back there right now, which is Holton Hill, and he hasn't started. We don't know that he can start. I just have faith that possibly he can. They're not testing for pot anymore, so there goes that whole obstacle.
Yeah,
so, I mean, I don't know, man.
When he did play, he played pretty good, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. And let's look at some stuff. Let's say you start Hill, Chris, and you can't – let's just hypothetically say you can't sign anybody worthy to play that cornerback, that other outside corner.
Look at the text that you sent, not to cut you off, but look at that text as far as starts and plays and whatnot. But keep going.
Sure.
Snap count.
Yeah, and you're going to look at rookies, and yes, you'll have available picks to move up and get yourself one or two corners that you like, but, I mean, we know Zimmer's cornerback learning curve and how long it can take a corner to actually figure out how to play that adequately, and Mike's not going to put someone on the field that he doesn't feel comfortable with. So we're looking at, you know, a pretty barren backfield unless, like you said, we sign someone in free agency who can come in and play right away. And still there's a learning curve on that, so I'm just a little bit apprehensive about the state of our secondary at the moment.
And I sent you that just off snaps of 2019, and you can go over it in a sec just while you're looking at it and whatnot, but Yeah, I mean, the potential's there for some of these guys, but even when it's hard to look at Hughes off of that injury, too. You know, he got in there. He had a rough time. Remember that game we got targeted 17 fucking times? It's like, oh, God, he's just getting destroyed right now. I feel bad for the kid. You know, yeah, it's pretty crazy. All four of them gone. I mean, some people were, like, saying, like, looking at what the kicker got, you know, $4 million a year, and saying, well, Alexander only got $4 million a year. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I think I must have sent it to the wrong Aaron, maybe. My bad. So, to me, I think that the amount of, like, the amount of free agents still out there, and this is where it's like rebuild or not. If we don't pick up a veteran corner, and I'm glad you brought that up. Remember Captain Mutterling? First year, I made some good plays, doing pretty good. Not necessarily the guy that we thought we had signed, but pretty damn good. Next, the year after that, I was like, all right, dude, okay, this dude's a stud. But then we kind of moved him out of there, and it became too much money overall. So I think with the Joseph, you know, a guy that played in the system before, I'm going to look up some other corners that I have as well. But I just think that if we don't go into the draft not have signing a solid corner, as you know, a guy you could put on the field and be pretty solid. But, you know, will he be ready to go and be a stud? I'm not saying that per se, but just a guy that started a lot of games that you can depend on as, all right, we know he's going to give us some sort of consistent play. I would really like that. Otherwise, I can't help but to think, Aaron, that this is a rebuild, dude, because how the hell are you going to – what, are you going to go and just draft three more guys and then just go with six or seven guys that have barely any playing time? Sounds like a rebuild to me, especially in the pass-happy league.
Especially on defense, man. I mean, like, and looking at this thing that you sent me here, and it's bleak. I mean, you're looking at Smith, obviously, he'll be there, but he's not getting any younger, man. And then you got Harris, who likely will be traded, but we don't know that. But, I mean, chances are, from all the rumors flying around, that we're looking to trade him. Rhodes is gone. Waynes is gone. Alexander's gone. There's your starters. So now you're looking at Hughes, who played the most snaps of who's left. And he didn't have a great year, man. I mean, he was getting boxed out. A lot of guys knew how to play him, and he was getting balls caught on him. Kurse, who you thought was a...
How many snaps?
500 snaps he played. And now Kurse played 271, and he's gone, and there was your safety depth. And he was really coming along, too. I mean, a huge blow to your depth in the secondary is all you can say. Now, whether these guys left because they wanted to or we told them to hit the bricks, we'll never know. But... I mean, now you're just looking at having a few guys that have played at all. Hill and Boyd, both under 200 snaps. Boyd, drastically under 200 snaps. He played well in the spot time that he had, but by no means are we willing to go into the season with Holton Hill and Boyd as our starters. I mean, if push comes to shove and you have to, it's going to be a long year back there, unless these guys have some superpowers that we're not aware of at the moment. I mean, this is going to be a tough one. You're going to have to draft, or you're going to have to find a free agent. I don't care where it comes from. I really don't. You're a little more set on the free agent than I am. Sure. You want to get one, go ahead and get one.
It's got to come from both. I'm just saying give us one. Give us
one. Something.
You know, because I can't rely on just rooks. Even if it is the 22nd pick, I can't rely on a rook and that's it. Just bring in a bunch of rookies and the depth we got to have a vet.
I agree with you. I mean, I agree with the fact that you can't just rely on rooks, but – worst case scenario, if you have to, I feel sorry for these guys because they're going to play for Mike Zimmer their first year on the field. This is not going to be
gloves.
A fun season.
We're going to need some extra boxing gloves, that's for sure.
Right. Now when he's got everything else going on around him and he wants to play his corners right, I mean, it's going to be a tough one. But I have faith on Spielman that he'll work it out and that something will get done. I don't know exactly what it is. But they're going to have to figure out something going outside of training camp. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of new faces. I think a lot of the turnover is good in the long run. But how long is the long run? Is it 2020, or are we going to see something in 2021 that resembles more of what we want to see? And if that is the case, I guess it's a low-key rebuild again.
And that's it. You hit it right there, the long run. How long is this run? Is it, a 5K, or are we talking about a half a marathon? You know what I mean? Like, no, you're right. I think you made it, I think you hit it on the nose. And you know, when there's quiet, a lot of times deals are being made. So I do think Harris is still on the block. And a lot of people say, well, why did we even sign Harris then? Well, dude, what are you just going to let him walk? Why not get something from him then? Hey, if we can't extend him, which we're still trying to extend him. And if you look at next year, the cap number's manageable, but the year after that and the year after that, there's a lot of these contracts that have nothing to do with that. So the cap is not going to be exactly what this year was, you know what I mean, as far as like the stress going into the off season and whatnot in the coming years. But, you know, it is. It's like really like, is it next year, dude? Are we going to build upon what we did last year? Because right now it doesn't feel that way, but let's see. But even like I was saying about these trades, Harris, dude, of course you sign Harris to this $11 million one-year deal, a franchise, because you either extend them or you get something from them. We don't have to wait till next year to get a third or fourth round pick. It'd be this year you can get commodity or an actual offensive lineman or a player. And there's been a couple of players thrown around. One of them is Landry, the wide receiver from Cleveland, a veteran guy, a sizable guy too, which we haven't had. Shut down the season. Laquon Treadwell got signed by Atlanta too. I forgot to mention that. But, you know, there's talks, whether it's Harris or not. It doesn't have to be just Harris. We could do Harris and throw in a pick and get a solid guy back, or that could be one trade, and we could give one of these picks we just got and maybe the fourth-round pick we got for next year and move it for a solid player. When you look at the list of players that go for fourth and fifth rounders, veterans ready to start. Foles, solid dude, we're going to hear more of here. Barely anything. Calidius Campbell for a fifth round pick. Like, we're going to talk about our punter kicker that we never got for a fifth round pick and what they turned that into. I mean, we have draft capital to move up in the draft, but we also have draft capital to move right now. And I think that's where you're going to find it. And here's just an update. The Seahawks sending Washington a fifth-round pick in exchange for Quentin Dunbar. And that's a corner we had our eye on, supposedly. The Skins actually traded a fifth-round pick for Kyle Allen. You know what I mean? So, like, these fourth- and fifth-round picks, we can get solid players here. We're not just lost. It's just a matter of where are we going to be standing in 3 weeks to find out how lost we are or not.
Sure. I to sum it all up, man, I got five question marks at five positions that need to be answered and answered well before we start the season. And that's, we need a guard. We need a tackle. We need a wide receiver replacement and we need two corners. I mean, that's what we need. And whether you get those adequately in the draft or adequately in free agency, to me, doesn't make a lot of difference. The corners, obviously, that's a little more touchy. We already been over that in the learning curve, but you get yourself a guard, a tackle, and you got to figure out how to get that other side balanced. We saw how unbalanced offensively it was with just Diggs out there, who's a spectacular receiver, but you got to have something to balance him out with. And Ole B.C. Johnson just didn't cut it last year for that. So we need to have some kind of force on the other side to get Thielen maybe to be able to move around, slot, or do whatever. So in that draft, I think the easiest thing to draft and play, you would think, would be a guard and a receiver. You know, to get those guys, you could plug them in hopefully a little bit easier than you could two corners under Mike Zimmer. And that's just leaving out the other spots that need to be dealt with. You need another defensive lineman. You need another safety possibly. I mean, there are spots there, but I think those five spots to me are the real linchpin of what we're looking for for 2020. Are we going to be a playoff team? or are we going to be just outside the playoffs and try to get a pick and try to shine in 2021? Okay, if that's the plan, tell us that. I'm on board. But if you want to suit up a team this year, you think go to the Super Bowl, I mean, you're going to need to fill those spots one way or another, and they're going to have to be successful fills for you to go forward and maybe make a push in the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you, man. That's at least that wide receiver could we bring. You know, I really like Perriman. I think he's a deep threat from the Bucs. You know, they've been trying to sign him back. Other people like him. It sounds like it's about a $5 million a year thing, and we don't have a ton of money right now. We do have money, though, you know, like I said, in the coming years. So we could sign someone to a three-year deal, and they could just take a little less this year, but then make up on the back end. So Perriman would be a guy, you know, like a deep threat who's already been productive in the league that I would like. But I think at least we have an improvement from Johnson. We have a deep wide receiver draft. We have Irv Smith. We have Rudolph. At least we have options that we could spread it around rather than a quarterback situation where, like, you don't just spread around productivity. You know, it's a little different of a thing there. But yeah, get ready for Nick Foles, with Chicago potentially. You know, that could be a thing. And I have, that Landry or Beckham, Odell Beckham. I guess Beckham does carry a really big cap hit, but he doesn't have a guarantee. So we could actually, compensation wise, you know, would it be like a third pick or whatever? Some people are saying Beckham might end up here. And if you want a guy that could go deep, Beckham's definitely a guy that can go deep. But we also know, you know, if we want a guy that is not, you know, going to be a decent locker room guy, then Landry's your guy. You know, he's a much better just leader and whatnot. But look at our schedule. We're going against the NFC South in 2020. We got Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Matt Ryan, and good old Teddy Bridgewater. And I want to have a mini segment for Teddy because, you know, Teddy's a guy that everybody loved. Did I love his deep ball? No, it definitely needed work, but he was a leader. He was a guy that could get out of the pocket. It wasn't pretty with him, but he did produce in, you know, a team that wasn't a great team by any stretch. He didn't have, you know, he was actually in development with a guy. Our two wide receivers were still developing, actually, when we had Thielen and Diggs. So I did want to bring this up real quick. I'm really happy for Teddy, man. You know, he is now with the Carolina Panthers. And to make that kind of remarkable turnaround for something that they said would take 2 years to even get back on the field, he got back in. Sure, he threw a pick and was kind of like, oh, my God, I just want to get off the field. We probably should have put him in at that time. I remember that a couple of years back. But for him to be a backup, then to get some time. And this year, Aaron, for him to go, what was it, 5-0, like, and now he's got a home. I'm happy for Teddy.
I am, too. I'm really happy for Teddy as well. And what could have been here, you know? I mean, even if you hang on to him after he got back and got healthy, you know, what could have been avoided? The cap hit of Cousins. And I'm not saying that, you know, we wouldn't sign Kirk Cousins and we shouldn't have and we should have hung on to Teddy. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm just saying is that, you know, had he stayed healthy through that, he would definitely be the starting quarterback of the Vikings right now and probably be pretty successful. He did get hurt, so had we hung on to him, and you know, he'd at least be a suitable backup or probably still be the starter for the Vikings at this point in time. I mean, we had to go through a couple guys, Sam Bradford. That was an immediate fix for Teddy, and his knee got fucking crushed out.
Too, so it wasn't like we had him on deal. We didn't cut him. He was a free agent. So we could have got him on a cheap as a backup.
Yeah, we had his fifth-year option because we took him at, last pick in the first round or something like that. So, I mean, yeah, I'm happy for Teddy. It's kind of come full circle. I hope his health holds up and he gets to have a few good years there and play really well. I mean, he's replacing Cam Newton from what I know, and I don't know what's going on with Cam, but he, you know, as quick as he rose is as quick as he fell. So at his prime, he was a really great quarterback, but Now it's Teddy's turn.
The prime wasn't even long ago either, man. You're right.
It really wasn't.
Now it's all about his hat game, you know?
Well, he's always had the hat game. I mean, that's...
I mean, not like the last couple of years. He's got his hat game up, dude.
Yeah.
He's got, like, little netting with it, like he's going to pick strawberries or something like that, too, like with old ladies and stuff.
Yeah. Has he signed with anyone?
No.
He's still out there, huh?
Yeah, well, they got a trade. I don't think they're getting... They can cut him straight up because there's so much... money involved with that dead cap, I'm assuming.
Yeah, and Brady at Tampa, I didn't see that coming at all. I thought he'd end up in Vegas or Miami or some place like that, man.
Year, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Tampa makes sense if you look at their weapons offensively. But, yeah, I thought he'd actually stay home. I thought he'd stay. But, obviously, that's not in the books. Real quick, Clay Matthews is out there. Free safety. Demarius Randall is someone that we're looking at. Tremont Williams, cornerback. Ronald Leary. I remember us looking at that maybe a week ago. A guard. And Demetrius Thomas, who played at Denver in the system, and you know whose system, Kubiak's. Long, lanky receiver who could just fit a role. Just trying to name a couple of people out there. This Robbie Anderson wide receiver. This cornerback, Robbie Coleman is another one. Greg Van Rotten is another guard out there on free agency. So, and there's probably, I named about four or five last week. None of those guys have been signed yet. So I'm not.
Demaryius Thomas is intriguing to me.
I agree.
At the receiver spot. I mean, he obviously
on the cheap, you know?
On the cheap. He knows the system. Good size. See, what I was going to say earlier was that, with Diggs and Thielen, they can both do both things. They can do the possession thing, and they can do the big play thing. And that's rare to find in a receiver. And you got to have someone on that other side that can do that as well. And I think he's a guy, if his health is right, I don't see why he's not in the higher tier of wide receivers. There's got to be something there. What's dropped him down a little bit, maybe production or something like that. But he's as intriguing as a number two there. And if you can get him at a cheap rate, I'd definitely give him a shot. The other one I liked was the Randall kid at safety. I thought that was pretty good, too, if you could somehow get him when you move Harris. Those are the two intriguing names that you brought up that I stuck out in my head.
Yeah, and let me see here. So at the end of the day, we're gonna put a question mark right now. We're not going to answer it because we don't know. And the question is it a rebuild or not? And the reason why it's not just yet, we're saying it possibly could be a retool and rebuild, but the reason why we're not is because the draft and the free agency and the trade and the capital we have and all that, I still can't, we both said it, so we still can't call it a rebuild just yet. We're not going to freak out. But we got to keep an eye on this waiver, dude. This waiver line, like what we got to, start filling some spots. I'm going to actually check real quick if anything's popped off. Any chunk of things or one thing or whatever that you want to talk about before we shut this puppy down? Like I said, I'm going to make sure, that nothing's happened in this time frame.
Well, my thoughts on the rebuild, retool, restructure, re-something is there's a lot of question marks out there. I mean, Zimmer's on the last year of his contract. You brought in essentially two other head coaches into the system here with Kubiak rising in power and then the Capers guy, a defensive coordinator. So, I mean, and then you start to shake up the defense drastically. You make some hard cuts on the offense and a trade. You sign your quarterback for two more years, so essentially he's here for three more years. I love Zimmer, and I would hate to see him go, but it's starting to line up a little bit like if they don't have some sort of spectacular year or show some kind of incremental progress that he might be out at that job, and that really bums me because he's probably been my favorite Viking coach to date so far. And I think it'd be a huge mistake, but I feel like that's kind of the way it's going, and I hate to say that. So, and I think Spielman will stay, and that's why we've kind of got all this draft capital,
gutted the defense, moved some players, for maybe preparing for life after Zimmerino, possibly moving to a 3-4 in some way. I hate to say that that might be the case, but that might be the case, and I don't necessarily agree with that. Regardless if we go 6-10 this season, I think you still keep Mike, but I really feel like there's something in the wind there, and we'll see how the draft goes and the free agency, see how the chips fall as to where that really fits into Mike Zimmer's world and what kind of formations and what direction, I guess, this team is going in, and does that fit with Mike, and what conclusions can we draw from the way it all ends up?
You're just going to throw Denny and Jerry Burns under the bench, huh? Or under the bus. Huh? Just screw those guys. What about Tice? Tice's a good guy.
I like Tice now. Tice is a good guy.
Instead of getting another wide receiver, we're just going to throw it to Randy every frame. We get the Randy ratio. Every time we throw it to him, don't worry about it. We're going to be fine. Hey, you got any tickets? I need some tickets. You know, Mr. Ticket. Tice the ticket guy.
Yeah, well, Tice traded Randy, though, you know?
Yeah, for Williamson. Oh, gosh. Oh, I don't even want to get into it. The guy who
Denny's a good one. You know, we grew up with Denny.
Denny's a stud coach. You know, there's just no way around it. You know.
Yeah, I just like Zimmer's whole. He is a football coach. You know what I mean?
I hear you.
That's what he is. And
I like the press conferences from Jerry Burns, though. Once in a while, I'll go YouTube those. And cuss fest, dude. He couldn't even be in the league right now. He'd have to be in the XFL or something.
Oh, sure.
They wouldn't even let Jerry in the league, because you know he's not going to like edit himself or anything like that. They'd be like, "Sorry, Jerry, you're going to have to be in the NFL Europe. You can't say these things after a game, Jerry."
I like the Zimmer press conferences after they're like, you know, 1-3 in a row, just kick the shit out of some team, and he keeps them real short, man. He's, "What do you see?" "Well, you saw it out there. What do you want to know?" I don't have to answer that. It's not injury time. Do I have to do this again? Can somebody get me off this podium?
Yeah, exactly.
So you guys are going to ask me these stupid fucking questions? Okay, I'm moving on. Yeah, I like that. I mean, let's hope that, you know, all this is just speculation and I'm reading into something that's not really it. Because I want to see Zimmer continue to be the coach here. And I'd like to see, you know, I don't think Spielman's done a terrible job. I mean, you can't really faulted for quarterbacks, but I mean, he's landed on a lot of low round picks. He's had a lot of low round picks. I like the way he conducts the draft. I like he seems to get good players here, enough of them to keep it going. Oh, he'll be tested this year to see what he can bring in, but yeah, I really have no complaints. And I guess I'm one of those, if it ain't broke, don't fix it guy. I mean, you can just tell by looking at my phone that this thing hasn't broke and I ain't fixed it. So that's the way it is, and I just leave it alone. Continuity means something, and especially when you're going to go gut a defense like you just did, you want to keep some parts in place, and the front office is probably a good place to start with that sort of plan.
Well, we'll be back next week, or you never know. We may do what people are calling the emergency podcast, and I hate to use that word right now, but you never know. If we do some kind of big trade, we're not going to wait until Monday. You know, we're going to do a podcast, but until we get to that point, you guys be safe, stay inside, go for a run, go for a bike ride, do what you got to do, but stay inside, stop hoarding. Most places have signs and won't let you hoard now. Too bad to all the hoarders that are trying to return it. Oh, too bad you can't return it. You're going to have to deal with it. You're going to have to eat canned food for the next year. But let's hope we get through this. On the Minnesota-wise, you know, it's we're shut down to the 27th, and we're just anticipating that it's going to be longer than that. But let's get through this together. Like I said, we're here to ease your mind a little bit as a distraction. We'll be back. If it's not, you know, within 5 to 7 days, it's because something major happened. We'll be back quicker. All right, guys, you guys take it easy. Enjoy yourself. Take it easy, Pete.